Well, over the last few weeks here at Mater Dei Radio, hopefully you have been joining us as we followed Sarah Kenzie, our digital media manager, on her pilgrimage to Italy. Well, Sarah is back, and rather than take up time out of Tech Tuesday, she's sitting down with me today to look back on this beautiful pilgrimage. Good morning, Sarah. Thanks for being with me today.
Good morning. I get extra time with you this week, Brenda.
I know. It is exciting. And we deliberately did this because we said, okay, Tech Tuesday was coming up, but we wanted to focus on parish of the week. And I knew that your pilgrimage had so many parts to it that I didn't want to confine it to that time. So thank you for sitting down with me. I personally followed you every step of the way on your own Instagram account, as well as the Mater Dei Radio account. You were sharing on both of those. What an incredible journey. So I want to go back. You had shared a couple of things while you were there, but let's talk about those parts of your pilgrimage now that we want to catch up on. You were gone for about 2 weeks.
Two and a half.
And part of that was for the canonization. So let's start there, because that was kind of within the first few days that you were there. Just catch us up on that canonization.
Well, that was an incredible experience. Of course, that was the canonization of Saints Carlo Acutis and Pier Giorgio Frassati. And that was amazing. The estimates I saw afterwards, I think, were 70 to 80,000 people.
Wow.
In St. Peter's Square. Definitely there's the moments of frustration and almost getting stampeded in a crowd that big. But I do think, like, with all that aside, it was so worth it. I think everyone there was so joyful, so excited about the new saints. I was one of the first people waiting in the street, like, for them to open the square. And I just remember it was still dark, but there were all these pilgrims, and everyone was praying and singing in all their different languages. I think we had right next to me, like, was Croatian and Spanish. And so I was talking with the different folks, and just one of the things I loved about the canonization and that weekend specifically is there were so many people there in Rome. And so you just made friends all the time. You just would start talking to people because you could tell right away that they were there for the canonization. So even on my flight over, I was meeting different people that were going to the canonization. So that was a really fun part. It's like, most of the people there were very polite and very kind, and maybe with the exception of a few shoving people in the crowd. But most of them were so happy and joyful. And once we finally got, you know, in our positions for Mass, I thought that was so beautiful. I think celebrating that with Pope Leo, with the family members of both families, especially St. Carlo's younger brother. He read the reading, and it was beautiful just to do that as a universal church, or a representation of the universal church. You look out, you see people from all these different countries, all these different languages, and we're all there to celebrate our new saints. So definitely a beautiful, joyful day.
Was there a moment when you were waiting for the Mass to begin and you were sitting out? We saw the pictures. It was that beautiful day that you just went, I can't believe I'm here and that my eyes are seeing what I'm seeing.
Absolutely. I think when I finally got into my seat and I looked up, and the sun was still coming up, actually. But I thought, wow, like, I remember, I mean, last year I was thinking about doing this pilgrimage, and then I had the thought of maybe going to Carlo's canonization, and it didn't really work out with the original timing. And then it happened, and I had a moment of, I cannot believe I'm here right now. So pretty incredible.
Sarah Kenzie is joining us today as we look back on this beautiful pilgrimage that she recently returned from to Italy with the canonization of Saints Carlo Acutis and Saint Pier Giorgio Frassati. The part of this pilgrimage, too, that was so important, that really millions of people throughout the year are going to, is the passing through the holy doors. Now, you didn't do it at that occasion at the Mass. You came back at another time to do that. Tell us about going through the holy door.
Yes. So that was a really powerful experience. And I'm still having trouble putting it into words, I guess. But I got there, and there's kind of like the line to get in, and things are set up a little bit differently at St. Peter's this year for the Jubilee than I think it typically is, but everyone's kind of funneled through the holy doors. And so it was great to see there were so many pilgrim groups that were going through, like a huge groups. And every time I went to St. Peter's, that I would see groups getting ready to line up and go through the door. They would have a big cross, maybe, you know, matching shirts or hats or something like that. But they would pray as they went. And so what I did is I looked up, there's a Jubilee holy door prayer. And so I looked that up on my phone, and I just kind of prayed it on my own as I went through. But it's all, you know, Psalms especially, and especially the psalm about going to the house of the Lord. And so it was just beautiful. Like, I was very, very much moved by that. And especially, you know, thinking of it in terms of, we're all on a pilgrimage here on earth, right? To get to heaven, to actually, you know, go to the courts of the Lord, and, you know, in the most true sense. And this was just like a physical, you know, symbol of that to me. It was, you know, us walking as pilgrims, you know, sometimes we're struggling a little bit, but then you walk through the doors and you see the beauty of St. Peter's Basilica, and it just hits you like that you're here, and, you know, you're here at the heart of the church on earth. But it, for me, it was like a representation of our journey to heaven. And it was really very powerful. And there is definitely a grace to going through the holy door. I felt it when I walked through. I actually like had to like stop and take a moment like as I walked through, and it's hard to even describe, but I felt the outpouring of grace.
Wow.
In a very tangible way that I've only felt like a few times in my life that powerfully. And it was just so beautiful. And then the other thing is, you walk in and just a little bit further down in St. Peter's, I mean, of course, you see the Pietà by Michelangelo. You see the tomb of John Paul II. So I stopped and prayed there. But there's an adoration chapel. And I was just thinking, I just have to go in and sit down. I just have to be with the Lord for a little bit. And I love that that's right there as you walk through, and you can kind of process what you've experienced. And then they also have confession as well. And so you're able to do that. And I think they do that all the time. They have adoration confession available. But I think making the spiritual component really part of your journey is really important. And so for all of our listeners, you know, we're still in this Jubilee year. You still have, you know, a few months left. And so if you haven't made a pilgrimage yet, even locally, I really encourage you to do that, because there's something about making a sacrifice and offering that trip to God, whether it's a day or, you know, a few days or whatever it is, it's an afternoon, but like you are putting the time aside to make that journey, and he blesses that. And so even, you know, even here on a local level, I really think that those, you know, Jubilee graces are available to everybody. And so I would really encourage people to do that, because it was, I mean, yes, maybe I went on the you know, the big one, but we're all on pilgrimage to heaven, and we're all part of this Jubilee year, and those graces are there for us. So it was very, very powerful.
Oh, and how wonderful for all of us listening to be able to experience this with you. I am excited for you to know more, but I am up against my break. Stay with us through the break. We're going to continue with Sarah Kinsey in our next half hour. And I'm back, joined by Sarah Kinsey, our digital media manager here at Mater Dei Radio. Sarah is kind enough sharing her experience on her recent pilgrimage to the Holy Doors and, well, places beyond Rome as she traveled through Italy. Sarah, thanks for staying with us today.
Of course.
We have focused so much time just on this singular event, but your pilgrimage was quite a number of days. And before you left Rome, you had an opportunity to visit the North American College, and you were able to talk with Anthony Nguyen, and he gave you a tour. And we were able to also see some of those pictures that you shared online. But you had a long pilgrimage to go. So once you left Rome, Where did your travels take you?
Yeah, so after Rome, I went to Assisi. I spent a weekend there. And then I went north to Florence. I did a quick stop. Then I went to the very north part of Italy. Actually, had some time with family up there. It's kind of at the very end, north end of the Lake of Como. And then kind of came back down, spent a little bit of time in Milan. And then I took train back to Rome so that I could get my flight. So that was kind of the rest of the trip.
Okay. And graces and beautiful things to experience, because while you started this pilgrimage to attend the canonization, it seems like at least Saint Carlo Acutis kind of was your partner along the way, especially when you were in Assisi and then again in Milan. So when you were in Assisi, he was there.
Yeah. So I visited the tomb of St. Carlo Acutis in Assisi, and he was buried there because that was his favorite place to visit. And we've actually been reading a book about him at our staff meetings about how his family wanted to take him on much, you know, bigger pilgrimages or other vacations. And he said, no, I want to just go to Assisi. It is such a peaceful place of real closeness to God. And so he's buried there. And so that was really powerful. I walked into the church of Santa Maria Maggiore. It's the Assisi version. And it's also known as the Shrine of the Renunciation. So it's where St. Francis had renounced all of his earthly goods before the bishop. And so it's kind of got a dual purpose though now with St. Francis, but also it's where Carlo Acutis is buried. So when you walk in and you get in line and you come up to where he's buried and you can see him, the first thing I saw was his jeans. And that just struck me so much. And then you see his Nikes and his sweatshirt and you know, it's so powerful. It is also sad in a way, because you realize how young he was. Yeah. So there's that element to that too, but it was also really special to just be able to pray there. And yeah, he was my friend throughout this trip. And skipping ahead a little bit to Milan, I got to visit his parish church. What's funny about, you know, Italian, just, you know, your typical parish church is, of course, gorgeous and like this incredible church, like, you know, even sure. Just the most everyday church to them. But it was... it was really special to go in. It was definitely, you know, quieter pilgrimage experience. But there were people that would, before Mass, quietly come up and pray. There's a picture of him and a relic off to the side. So a few people came up before Mass, and then I was able to be there for their vigil Mass. And also they celebrate in the Ambrosian Rite, which is a little bit different, which was very cool. But after Mass, a lot of people came over to his picture and were praying and lighting candles. And I could tell some of them were pilgrims for sure, but I also was wondering, you know, how many of these people maybe knew him, because he was going to church there 20 years ago. So that was really powerful during the Mass when the priest was praying the Eucharistic prayer. He named Carlo, and you know, when you name the different saints, and like, I just, it really hit me of, you know, not that long ago, he was just going to church here, you know, and now his name is in the Eucharistic prayer at his home parish. So that was just so special to me. And I think it's just, I think he's a good inspiration for all of us that, you know, no matter what we're doing in life, however ordinary it looks, like, we have the chance to be saints too. And so that was really, really beautiful.
Did you pause to think at all that perhaps the pew that you were sitting at, quite possibly and probably,
yeah,
he knelt there too?
Yeah. Yeah. Something similar. Yeah. Crossed my mind. And it's a wild thought.
It is. And that's just such a perfect example of recognizing that the saints were just like us on this earth and that we have these connections to them. And it was beautiful that you were able to connect with him. So looking back overall, and now that you're home, reflecting back on this trip that you took, is there any takeaways that you are kind of still holding on to, mm-hmm, that make you just smile when you remember?
Well, I mean, there's so much. I mean, it was an incredible trip. Like, just, yeah, so many blessings. I think for me, it was a good exercise in trusting the Lord. And there is an element of when you're traveling and or you're just in a different unknown situation, like you got to rely on the Lord a little bit. But I really felt like a renewal of that, that one of the things that was so special is you're maybe having like a rough day or whatever, and you're tired and you walk into whatever church it is. And so there's just something there that God, it seems like he placed there just for you. Like there was some, or there's something in the reading that day, or you came across, you know, something in one of, one of the churches or one of the descriptions of the lives of the saints that really kind of hits you. And so it really, it's really special, when you have those moments of God really giving you, those reminders that, like, he sees you and, you know, he wants you to see those little things. I also think, for me, it was really powerful to realize how much it mattered to have prayer time, especially, being able to go to Mass, go to confession, to find when they had Eucharistic adoration at any of these churches. And some of the churches, you know, throughout which part of Italy I was in, were more touristy than others. But they always had a place reserved for prayer. And so, I just felt myself drawn to any time there was like a Eucharistic adoration chapel or just, you know, part of the church that you could pray in. And it struck me that, you know, I felt this pull toward that. Like I wanted to be there rather than like in the crowd, like mm-hmm. sightseeing. And I realized like, maybe this is God like reminding me I'm here like all the time. Like I'm here in Oregon. I'm here in the building that you work in. Like you don't have to go to Europe to find Jesus, but maybe God was needed to give me a little bit of a wake up call. Of just realizing the power of his presence and to seek that out in my daily life. And maybe for me, maybe I needed to do something a little extreme to be reminded of that.
Wow.
But that was, I think for me, that's been the biggest takeaway is just the reminder of God's presence through all of that. And, you know, all these beautiful churches and how they're meant to, you know, really turn our eyes upward toward heaven and to lead us to an encounter with God. All these saints, like, and you know, there's so many saints throughout the whole trip. I mean, you know, the ones that were canonized, but then Saint Francis, Saint Clare, Saint Ambrose, Saint Andrew. I went to a church a lot that was dedicated to him. Saint Monica, Saint Catherine of Siena. There were so many different saints that I just kind of felt like a friendship with, but they're all there to kind of help us on our way to heaven too. So I think just remembering the purpose of all the things we do as Catholics, right? Like all the work we do here, all the different devotions we have and things we learn. Like the whole point is to get us into that relationship with God mm-hmm. and to get to heaven. So I think just what really struck out to me was kind of remembering like the purpose of what we do. Why are we doing all this? And so I think that's the part that's really sticking with me now.
Oh, I love that. What a beautiful experience. Also the experience that God wants us to have to enjoy.
Yes.
What he has created yes. for us. Part of what he has created for us to enjoy on this earth. Gelato, did you appreciate just a little bit while you were there?
I say a lot. Yes, so much good food. Oh my goodness. I had gelato probably every day. So it was incredible. Yes.
Oh, good. Thank you so much, not just for experiencing and telling us where you went, but to share with us how you felt doing all of that and what a wonderful blessing it was to be able to follow you along. And we're definitely glad you're back. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, Brenda.